The Electric Monk's day was going tremendously well, and he broke into an excited gallop. That is to say that, excitedly, he spurred his horse to a gallop, and, unexcitedly, his horse broke into it. This world, the monk thought, was a good one. He loved it. He didn't know whose it was or where it had come from, but it was certainly a deeply fulfilling place for someone with his unique and extraordinary gifts. He was appreciated. All day he'd gone up to people, fallen into conversation with them, listened to their troubles, and then quietly uttered those three magic words, "I believe you." The effect had invariably been electrifying. It wasn't that people on this world didn't occasionally say it to each other, but they rarely, it seemed, managed to achieve that deep timbre of sincerity which the monk had been so superbly programmed to reproduce. On his own world, after all, he was taken for granted. People would just expect him to get on and believe things for them without bothering them. Someone would come to the door with some great new idea or proposal or even a new religion, and the answer would be, "Oh, go and tell that to the monk." And the monk would sit and listen and patiently believe it all, but no one would take any further interest. Only one problem seemed to arise on this otherwise excellent world. Often, after he had uttered the magic words, this subject would rapidly change to that of money, and the monk, of course, didn't have any, a shortcoming that quickly blighted a number of otherwise very promising encounters. Perhaps he should acquire some. But where? He reined his horse in for a moment, and the horse jerked gratefully to a halt and started in on the grass on the roadside verge. The horse had no idea what all this galloping up and down was an aid of, and didn't care. All it did care about was that it was being made to gallop up and down past a seemingly perpetual roadside buffet. It made the best of its moment while it had it. The monk peered keenly up and down the road. It seemed vaguely familiar. He trotted a little way further up it for another look. The horse resumed its meal a few yards further along. Yes, the monk had been here last night. He remembered it clearly, well, sort of clearly. He believed that he remembered it clearly, and that, after all, was the main thing. Here was where he had walked to in a more than usually confused state of mind, and just around the very next corner, if he was not very much mistaken, again, lay the small roadside establishment at which he had jumped into the back of that nice man's car, the nice man who had subsequently reacted so oddly to being shot at. Perhaps they would have some money there and would let him have it. He wondered. Well, he would find out. He yanked the horse from its feast once again and galloped towards it. As he approached the petrol station, he noticed a car parked there at an arrogant angle. The angle made it quite clear that the car was not there for anything so mundane as to have petrol put into it, and was much too important to park itself neatly out of the way. Any other car that arrived for petrol would just have to manoeuvre around it as best it could. The car was white, with stripes and badges and important-looking lights. Arriving at the forecourt, the monk dismounted and tethered his horse to a pump. He walked towards the small shop building and saw that inside it there was a man with his back to him, wearing a dark blue uniform and a peaked cap. The man was dancing up and down and twisting his fingers in his ears, and this was clearly making a deep impression on the man behind the till. The monk watched in transfixed awe. The man, he believed with an instant effortlessness which would have impressed even a Scientologist, must be a god of some kind to arouse such fervour. He waited with bated breath to worship him. In a moment the man turned around and walked out of the shop, saw the monk, and stopped dead. The monk realized that the god must be waiting for him to make an act of worship, so he reverently danced up and down, twisting his fingers in his ears. His god stared at him for a moment, caught hold of him, twisted him round, slammed him forward, spread-eagled over the car, and frisked him for weapons.